disciples were gathered in an upper room. Their world was sealed up in a garden tomb. And there in the darkness, they were so afraid, unsure of tomorrow and what they would face. 'Cause on Friday, the Savior died on a cross. Saturday, it seemed like all hope was lost. But soon, there would be calls for rejoicing, 'cause everything changes. Come Friday morning. Not one could remember the promise he made, that he'd lay his life down. But in just 3 days, the grave would surrender in total defeat. Yet death would be swallowed up in victory. 'Cause on Friday, the Savior died on the cross. Saturday, it seemed like all hope was lost.
Come Sunday morning, everything changed, amen, and we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. This, of course, is Palm Sunday, and we look forward to a great message concerning that, I'm sure, today, but it's so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning, and we're here again to celebrate the Lord. I think every Sunday should truly be Easter for the child of God, amen. Why don't you stand with me this morning? We're going to sing a song or so, and then the choir will come down. I believe we have a special this morning. We're very excited about that. But let's sing. How about let's sing page number 120. Do you feel like you've got victory this morning?
Yes.
Oh, not everybody at one time. Have you got victory in the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Amen. That's good. Page 120 if you need it. And let's just sing about that this morning.
Precious blood.
be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Again, it's great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. We're very excited for what we know lies in store. And we just pray the Lord to speak to our hearts today, that when we leave here, we'll know that we have been in the presence of Jehovah God. Amen.
Amen.
And we long to feel and sense, and we already do here in the house this morning, the moving of the Holy Spirit. If you're visiting with us, you're a special guest, and we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship this morning. We truly do. We mean that, and we pray that you just feel at home in the house of the Lord today. Just a couple of announcements, and then Pastor will come along in a few moments and share some others with you. But if you're a part of the drama team, we've asked that you please be here at 2 o'clock today, if at all possible. And we have some things that we need to work on today, and it'll be a long day for a lot of folks. But I know that it will be worth it for the Lord. Amen. So you just pray for us as we try and pull this whole thing together. And that is the fact that Jesus is risen. Amen. And we want to tell that great story once again. And we'll share a drama with you on next Sunday morning. Sunday school is at regular time at 10 o'clock next Sunday morning. And then please invite folks to come to the 11 o'clock time of worship as we celebrate a risen Savior. So please pray for the drama team. 2 o'clock today, guys, and we'll work all the way up till time that we need to get ready for the service for a choir for tonight. But again, I thank you in advance for all that have said, you know what, you just tell me what you need me to do and I'll be there. And I'm thankful for people that are willing to serve that way. So you invite folks to come, not to celebrate us, but to celebrate Him next Sunday morning in a time as we celebrate the resurrection. Father, we love you. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be in your house today. Lord, what a great, great day it is. Thank you, Lord, for the sunshine you've sent our way. Thank you, Lord, most of all, for the sun that shines within our hearts and within our lives. Lord, I pray that you would just be with us. You know exactly what is needed. Lord, I pray that you would be in every part of the music, every part of the message. And Lord, then in the time of the invitation, Lord, I pray that you would touch someone's heart and cause them to realize, Lord, that maybe they need to make a change in their life. Lord, maybe they need to accept you as personal Savior. What a great day that would be if someone would come to know you, that their name too could be written down in that Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, I pray that the salvation story would be told, that they would accept it today through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, be now in the offering. You know exactly what is needed. We'll praise you, Lord, and we'll thank you for all that's accomplished. For we ask it all in Jesus' name.
Man, well, we appreciate that. You glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
I want to mention a couple things before we have Brother Dakota come around. But Brother Dakota and Sister Brooke is with us this morning, and kids. And so very good to have you guys with us visiting. And also want to say it's good to have Mark and Pilar Garner with us this morning. And, of course, my brother and my nephews. What a blessing that is to have them with us in the house of the Lord this morning. And good to have the Hendersons back, too. They've been out of town and across country, but glad they had a little time away. I do want to mention this before we have our music specials. We're going to have an Easter offering next Sunday morning, so remember that in honor of the Lord Jesus and His resurrection. And of course, as Brother Allen just mentioned, we're having our Easter drama. But also we're having a baby dedication next Sunday morning as well. And so we've got a lot going on. We're looking forward to it. And so I just wanted to mention those things to you. Also, please remember Carrie Bennett in prayer, Miss Connie Teague in prayer, Diane Ely, Jim Jr., Leonard and Dolores Palmer as well. All just remember all of those folks in prayer, if you would, when you pray. All right, well, Brother Dakota, if you want to come on down. I asked Dakota, he and Miss Brooke said that they'd like to visit with us today, and I said, well, since you're coming this way, you mind singing and playing a couple on the piano? And so that's what he's going to do. So you give him a warm welcome this morning. I love you, brother. Appreciate you, man.
No, you're good. See, the best thing about not being a sound guy anymore is that when you mess up, no one looks at you. Now they look at you, which is a blessing. I promise you it was working earlier today. All right, while y'all figure that out, I'll come up here. Randy has like a spaceship thing over here. I have ADD really bad. I'm sorry. Y'all see this? It's like a whole spaceship over here. You working for NASA while you're playing the piano, or what's going on? Hey, if you can multitask by playing the piano, God bless your heart. Because I definitely can. Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all it's stealing. And you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Up from an empty grave, ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change. Disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who could work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my an empty grave. Ain't no city that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. And hallelujah. And hallelujah. And hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It would take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way when there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no city that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. And hallelujah. And hallelujah. And hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
First time I've ever heard this song. Y'all gotta go? Good? Okay. First time I ever heard the song, I was doing a live stream with this guy. Where was that at? Up in Ringgold. We were doing a Facebook Live at his house. And his mom was there, and we were just singing, playing songs, you know. And his mom was like, sing Come Jesus Come. And I thought the dude wrote the song. I'd never heard that song a day in my life. Well, come to find out, it's a CeCe Winans song. And it's been out for like a year and a half, 2 years, and that's how far y'all know that I'm way behind on music. But I had never heard it. Because most of the time when I'm driving in the truck or, you know, whatever, I normally listen to like Apple Music and listen to like much of the older stuff, Southern Gospel music and some contemporary stuff here and there. But I had never heard this song. And it started playing on the piano, and I was like, that's a really good song. So I found me a track, and I'm going to sing it.
Sometimes I'll fall to my knees and pray. So come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break. When Jesus comes. Let today be the day. And he'll come for the weak, the strong just the same, and all will be in the power of his name. So come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day he'll return to heal every hurt and to right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. To face, so come lay it all down, 'cause it might be today. The time is right now. There's no need to wait. Your past will be washed rivers of grace. So come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day he'll return to heal every hurt and to right every
blessing this morning. I need the Lord, don't you? Come, Jesus, come. And he for sure is coming. His return to earth for his church. And what a blessing the music has been this morning. And always happy to be part of our choir singing. Again, it's just good to be here this morning. If you have your Bibles, please make your way to Luke chapter number 19. Luke 19 for a few moments. In just a moment, we're going to read verse number 28 through 38. But today is Palm Sunday. And Jesus enters in to Jerusalem triumphantly. And so we're going to take a look at this story and try to mention a little bit of history, but also try by the power of the Holy Ghost to make application as well to our lives. I do want to bow for a quick word of prayer, and then I want to summarize what's taking place here, and then eventually we'll get to the message this morning. Father, we come in Jesus' name. And Lord, I am so very thankful that I can call you my Father. Lord, I pray in the next few moments, Lord, that you'll give me a clear head and a calm heart. Like Peter said, gird up the loins of my mind. Lord, there's something going on very much bigger than I am that's going on right now. And I just want to follow suit of what's going on. That is your word going forth. Father, I pray that you'll take your word and use it this morning. I pray you would apply it, Holy Spirit, to our hearts. And may we have a greater appreciation for the price that was paid on Calvary by the end of this service this morning. Thank you for those that are here. Thank you for those that are watching on Facebook and listening to our online audio stream as well. We are so very thankful and grateful and blessed to be able to stand one more time and preach your word. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Luke 19, in just a moment we're going to read verse number 28 down through verse number 38. And we reach the end of Jesus' public ministry here. And this is the final week of his life. This is the final countdown. A lot takes place in this week, also known as Passion Week. Starting with Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. But also in this week, we have the Last Supper. We have a bitter betrayal. We have agony in Gethsemane. We have Jesus' arrest. We have Jesus' beating. We have his crucifixion and, praise the Lord, his victorious resurrection. I want to say that the Lord can accomplish a whole lot in a small amount of time in our life if we let him. All of these things happened within a week time frame. This morning, if you notice verse number 28, the Bible says, Luke 19, verse number 28, the Bible says, and when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethabage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. When he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. I want to stop reading there. Of course, we could continue to read on through this account. But we have Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem here. There's three acts of surrender that take place in these verses that I actually want to share this morning. And the title to my message is simply this: Surrender on Palm Sunday. Surrender on Palm Sunday. These three acts of surrender that took place on Palm Sunday are, number one, historical. But on the same token, there can also be practical application applied to our lives as well. And so that's what I want to talk about: surrender on Palm Sunday. Three acts of surrender. Number one, there's the surrender of Jesus to the Father's will. Notice, if you would, in verse number 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, and notice this, ascending up to Jerusalem. That little phrase, ascending up to Jerusalem, is brief, but it's packed with meaning and emotion. Jesus surrendered to the Father by ascending up to Jerusalem. He absolutely surrendered his will for what he knew the Father's will was. And so, what's wrapped up in this statement, ascending up to Jerusalem? What does surrender to the Father's will have to do with this statement, and why is it important? I'll tell you why. Because, number one, it's fulfillment of prophecy. When we read this phrase, and when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. You don't have to turn there. I'll give it to you. Zechariah chapter number 9 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." And so this little phrase, ascending up to Jerusalem, it is the very fulfillment of prophecy according to Zechariah chapter 9 and verse number 9. What a blessing that is. Not only was it prophesied, but it is now fulfilled on Palm Sunday as he goes to Jerusalem. So what else is wrapped up in this statement, ascending up to Jerusalem, Jesus surrendering to the Father's will? It also has to do with a danger as well. There's a danger in this phrase where it says, and when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. If you remember, back in John chapter 10, don't turn there, I'll give it to you, verse number 31, we know that the last time that Jesus was in Jerusalem, there was an attempt upon his life. And then we know when he raised Lazarus from the dead, it caused an uproar. And the last time he was in Jerusalem, it was just a bad experience publicly. Again, there was an attempt upon his life. Therefore, Jesus was safer in the countryside. Jesus was safer away from Jerusalem. But once he stepped foot there, the Jewish leaders would immediately plot to kill him. Yet we read in our Bibles this morning, and when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem, knowing the danger that he was facing. What a blessing this morning to know that we have this act of surrender, the surrender of Jesus to the Father's will. It was a fulfillment of prophecy. Of course, it was danger wrapped up in that phrase. Yet he was obedient and he ascended up to Jerusalem. Now he knew, Jesus knew the danger this would entail, yet Jesus surrendered to the Father's will. And I want to say this morning, he did that for you and he did that for me. He did that for us, knowing this path would lead him to the cross. This path to the cross was laid with tremendous mental anguish, a traitorous betrayal of one of his own. His closest disciples would turn tail and run. He would be denied by Peter, placed on trial, rejected by the same multitude, may I say, that praised him at this triumphant entry, would one day say, "Crucify him, put him to death." Well, Jesus, he knew that surrendering to the Father's will and ascending to Jerusalem, that this would be a dangerous thing. Yet he did that for us. Ahead was mistreatment and mockery. It was a horrible kind of physical abuse. He was crushed with a crown of thorns. The agony, the suffering, the pain, the vinegar, the gall, the spear in the side, the nails in the hands and the feet, the smirks, the smiles, the laughter, the death of Jesus. Yet the Bible says that he ascended up to Jerusalem. That's what we're celebrating today. Palm Sunday, if you would. Palm Sunday. Woo! Praise the Lord. Praise. That's what those palm branches meant. Those palm branches, they meant victory. And they said, "Hosanna," meaning save now. Of course, we know he wasn't setting up his kingdom now and he will go to the cross. That's why that same crowd cried, "Crucify him." But praise the Lord that it's Palm Sunday. Jesus triumphantly enters into Jerusalem knowing the danger that would befall him and knowing this was fulfillment of prophecy. What a blessing. Ahead, Jesus would bear the sins of the world and die for us. He ascended up to Jerusalem knowing that he would die. I love what Hebrews 12:2 says. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Wait a minute. He was in imminent danger. It was fulfillment of prophecy. He was ascending up to Jerusalem to die. And he says, the joy that was set before him. What was the joy that was set before him? May I introduce you to one this morning that got saved on November 19th, 2002. Jesus says, "I was his joy." Jesus says, "You are his joy." Listen, while we were on the cross, we were on his mind. And what a blessing it is this morning to know that Jesus went the extra mile. He ascended up into Jerusalem because there was some joy in his heart to fulfill the Father's plan, but also redeem sinful man. What a blessing. I haven't always being the Christian I should be, Chris, since I've got saved. But you've heard the story. My brother and I got saved on the very same day, 2 years apart. November 19th, 2000, November 19th, 2002. What a blessing. And Mark Pilar, y'all seen the transformation. Y'all know about it. The Lord is moving y'all's lives as well. What a blessing. And listen, I'm nowhere near the kind of Christian I should be. But praise the Lord, Chris, I ain't what I used to be. And I ain't what I'm going to be. One day Jesus is going to complete his job on me. And y'all going to look at me and go, "Whoa, boy, look at him. Look at him." Listen, it was Jesus and his surrender to the Father's will. That's the first act of surrender that we see here in Luke chapter number 19. Again, we're preaching on the subject of surrender on Palm Sunday. I want to go a step further. Not only do we see the surrender of Jesus to the Father's will, but we see the surrender of the disciples to Jesus' will. Notice verse number 29. And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethabage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples saying, look at this, go ye. Sound familiar? Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. Verse 31, and if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. Now, we see that these disciples, they were given instructions concerning this colt, this donkey. They were given specific instructions. Again, that's in verse 30. Go ye into the village over against you. You'll find the colt where no man sat. Loose him. Bring him hither. Bring him thither. The Bible says, kind of odd, I think, this request is. Jesus requesting a colt. Jesus requesting this. Kind of odd, I would think. Yet Jesus knew the why to his question or his command. He knew the why. He knew these disciples, they would find this colt there. I want to say this morning that Jesus knows the whys in our life. He just tells us to go. He tells us to obey. Jesus knows the way. He knows what lies ahead. These men found that colt. Kind of an odd request, but they went. Now, in verse number 32, we see that they were sent and they went and they found. Look at verse 32. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. They were sent, go ye. They went and they found even as he had said unto him or unto them. Now there are some parallels wrapped up in this point I want to mention that remind me a whole lot of the Great Commission. Don't turn there, I'll give it to you, but Mark 16, 15, the Bible says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then again in verse number 30 here, it says, saying, go ye. And then in verse number 30 again, it says, it mentions the colt that would be tied. Now just stay with me a moment. He said, there will be a colt here tied. Can I tell you that all of humanity is in the bondage to sin? And we are to go out into the world and we are to recover them from the bondage of sin. This colt was tied. Go ye. But also in verse 30, he says, no one ever sat on him. He says, which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. No man has ever sat on this colt. No man has ever trained this colt. No man has ever tamed this colt. Of course, this pictures humanity and its unbroken will, its wild nature, untamed. We're to go ye to all the world and find those who are in the bondage of sin and introduce them to Jesus. Also, it says, loose him. Loose him and bring him hither. Loose him. This has to do, and the picture it gives, the picture story it gives is leading people to Christ, setting them free, Jesus setting them free from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and one day the very presence of sin. Loose him. This brings the picture of liberation from Satan, There's so many people in our world that are lost and they're dying and they're going to hell and they are bound and they're tied and they're untamed and the Lord wants us to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel and allow the Holy Spirit to loose them and breathe in them new life and give them heaven when they die, purpose on earth. And so we see that in verse number 30 where he says, loose him. But then he says, and bring him hither. Bring him hither. You see, we're to bring people to Jesus, not just church. Bring people to Jesus, not a law book to uphold. Bring people to Jesus, not religion. So as we take a step back and we look at this second act of surrender, we see that the surrender of the disciples to Jesus' will is pictured here. And he said, go ye and find the colt and release them and bring them to me. That is still the great commission of the new New Testament church, is to go out to the highways and hedges and to compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Last year, we started a strong outreach program. We did just about one outreach every month the whole year, minus the holidays. And you know, I love what goes on in here. And I love the worship part, and I love the preaching part, and I love the teaching part, and I love the fellowship. But if we're not going out there, we are missing our call. We are missing what this thing is all about. We are to go. So we started an outreach program. We went to the skate park out here, handed out tracts and invitations and bottled waters. And we went to the soccer fields down there on Barrett Parkway. And all you had to do is stand in one spot and everybody would walk around in circles. And you just keep giving them tracts and water and hats. We got a hat ministry. Brother Chuck, Miss Cece, Jesus loves you. Just giving them something with the gospel. We went door knocking. Some people are anti-door knocking. Listen, I don't like people knocking on my door. But our commission is a little different than selling cable TV. Our commission is trying to lead people to Jesus so they'll miss hell. Just a little bit difference there. So I'll go knock on the doors. We've had some come knock on doors. Listen, we're trying to do all that we could possibly do. We're trying to outreach. We're trying to encourage on the inside of the church. We're trying to revitalize the physical aspect of the church with new paint and TVs and things like that. Not so we can look great, but so that we can have a place that the people we go invite that can come in and hear a clear presentation of Jesus through audio, through video, and the Lord willing, get saved. That's what we're trying to do here at Calvary. And the Great Commission is still our first thing we should do. That is, tell people about Jesus. Not just on Saturday outreach, but Sunday through Friday as well. Everywhere you go, when you go to Walmart, you go to the gas station, tell somebody about Jesus. Lay a tract down. So we see this morning that there is a picture here of the Great Commission. The second act, the surrender of the disciples to Jesus' will, we see laid out in front of us. But then in verse number 31, I want you to notice the Bible says, and if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. First, if any man ask you, listen, when you're witnessing to people, when you're letting your light shine, there will be some men to ask you what that's all about. There will be some women, there will be some people to ask you. So you're talking about Jesus. What's that all about? What does Jesus mean to you? How did your life change so drastically? When men ask you, and oh yes, there are going to be some who mock you and ridicule you and make fun of you for the Jesus that you're living for and preaching about. That will happen too. But he says, if any man ask you, you tell him that the Lord hath need of them. Need of him. And so we see here that there was a purpose for this cult. A purpose. And so when I'm out and about and I share Jesus, or somebody strikes up a conversation with me, why is it Jesus? How did your life change? I said, well, Jesus saved me, but he has a purpose for me. And so when men ask me, I tell them Jesus has a purpose for you. He wants to save you, and then he wants you to serve him. And so we see that here with this cult, that he said that the Lord had need of him. What a blessing this morning that God would even dare make an attempt toward us and use us, liberate us from sin, and cut the bondages of sin, and put within our heart a desire to serve him. Loose us, let us go, and go tell others about him. What a blessing and honor and joy that is. So, surrender on Palm Sunday. Number two, there's the surrender of the disciples to Jesus' will. Many people are out there waiting to be freed and learn about their purpose, and they want to go to heaven. The question is, will we surrender to Jesus' will like his disciples did and go? I want to mention a third thing to you this morning. Not only when it comes to the subject of surrender on Palm Sunday, we see the surrender of Jesus to the Father's will. We see the surrender of the disciples to Jesus' will. But number three, and I like this one, the surrender of the donkey to Jesus' will. Hold on now, Brother Justin. No. You followed me this far, just stay with me. Verse number 32, down through the end of our text verses this morning, verse number 38. We know the disciples, they went, they freed the colt, they brought it to Jesus, they cast their garments on it, and they set Jesus on him, verse 35. But there's something I want you to understand about a donkey or just a wild animal. It is a wild animal. Keep in mind, this colt has never been sat on before. There's a reason why that was placed in the scriptures. Look at verse 30 again, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entry you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Listen, this colt had an owner and never sat on him. This was placed here by the Holy Ghost in the Bible for a reason. And I'll tell you the reason. You already know where I'm going with this. This animal hasn't been broken yet. It was untrained. Yet when Jesus sat on him, it safely carried him in through the gates. There was a loud atmosphere, yet the donkey was not scared. It was not stirred. It didn't get spooked. It didn't run. It was in full submission to Jesus. Listen, all of nature is submissive to Jesus. In the Bible, storms are submissive. Winds are submissive. The sea is submissive. Fish are submissive. Even the rocks are submissive. He'll make water come out of them, and he'll make them praise him if no one else praises the Lord. The only insubmissive thing out of all God's creation is mankind. It's mankind. Listen. We buck God, we thumb our nose at God, we get mad at God. God tries to send us down a path. We don't want to go that path because something's cost us on that path. Wrapped up in this picture of this donkey, we see a submissive, wild animal. Only Jesus can do that to somebody. Only Jesus can tame a person and make them that once was a drunkard someone who is sober. Only Jesus can make someone who was once a drug user someone against drugs. And only Jesus can change somebody's life and raise them up from the gutter and put them up on a pedestal for God's honor and glory. Only Jesus can do that. I love what Bill Stafford used to say. He said, if it hadn't been for Jesus, I wouldn't have cared if you went to heaven or hell. Isn't that right? And if it hadn't been for Jesus, I wouldn't have cared either. And I would not care. Yet we have the stubborn will of a donkey. Ask a farmer how stubborn donkeys are. That's a kind of a crossbreed between a donkey and a boar, I guess. We go home from Grace. We cut down the side road. Miss Cheryl, she lives on that side road, Grace Christian Baptist. We drive down through there, and there's some bulls, I think bulls, whatever. But there's one little lonely donkey every time. He's just standing there, and his tail just... I said, Lily, look at that donkey. And one day we rode by, and that donkey was, there was a little family up there feeding it some food. I was thinking, we need to do that one day. Pull over and just feed that donkey. You know? Just this donkey just standing there. You know? But you ask farmers about such a creature. It's stubborn. It will do its own thing. What is it? Winnie the Pooh. Well, Eeyore, how you doing today, Eeyore? Oh, I think I'm fine. How you doing today, Eeyore? It could be better. You know, he's just stuck doing his own thing. And I want to say, much like that is the stubbornness of mankind. We are fixated on what we want. We are stubborn, and we are chained to addiction, and we struggle each and every day. It's all about what we want, what we can get. But Jesus has a message through this donkey. When he's applied in our life, he can have full control. You know, we're still talking about that donkey this morning that they talked about in Bible days. That's a popular donkey. You know how that donkey became to be so popular? Because Jesus was on them. I want to tell you something this morning. Ain't nothing about this guy that's attractive. I'm flesh. I will fail you. At best, you'll see my struggles. But you add Jesus onto me. He makes me continue, Chris. Fighting my battles. He's the one that makes me continue to want to be better. You remove Jesus out of me and I'm nothing. I'm not profitable at all. Just like Onesimus when he fled from Philemon. He bumped into Paul and he got saved in prison and he went back to Philemon and Paul says he is now profitable. We're all a bunch of donkeys. And if it hadn't been for Jesus coming to us and harnessing our nature, sending us in a certain direction as he went into the entry of Jerusalem, where would we be this morning? The surrender of the donkey to Jesus' will. So if a donkey surrenders to God and experiences the great events such as the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, why don't we surrender to him as well? As they come with the song this morning, there may be someone here who doesn't know Jesus at all. If I were to ask you, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? Where would you spend eternity? You say, well, I try to do good. I try to let my good outweigh my bad. No. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's none good, no, not one. And so the basis by which a person goes to heaven is by accepting the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness. He came to bridge the gap between a severed relationship between man and God. Jesus, the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Maybe you're here and you just need to come and ask the Lord to take the reins back in your life one more time. Maybe you just want to come and praise Him. Whatever you want to do, the invitation will be given. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You this morning. I pray that You'd move during the time of invitation. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet and we'll have a song. And I urge you to come on the very first verse if you need to come. Someone will meet you here. I promise you that. Anybody this morning want to come? Nobody's pointing fingers. Nobody's laughing. This is why we're here. We have some coming on this side. Maybe there's some others that want to come. Let that encourage you. Some are coming on this side. Is our all on the altar this morning? If you're saved, are you serving? And again, if you need to get saved, we will meet you. We will meet you and talk with you while these are praying. Anybody else? There's still time. Appreciate these coming this morning. Thank you for responding. Thank you for being here. And hope you got something out of the service. So glad to have you. And so good to be here this morning. I believe we got a full day today. Drama practice at 2, choir practice at 4, and then, of course, evening service at 5. And so we'll be back ready to go again. All right. Well, we've got some pretty weather out there, I think, finally, and it's been a blessing this weekend, and having some good weather finally. But anyway, again, it's been good to be here. I want to ask Brother Mark Garner, if you would close us out in a word of prayer, brother. So good to have y'all this morning.